The Apostle Paul, as we have it translated, called himself a bondslave of Jesus Christ. The translators just watered that down a bit and called it a servant. No, the word doulos means a slave. You and I are slaves of Jesus Christ voluntarily, pleased to be so, because he bought us. We're his by right of possession, by right of redemption, by right of salvation, saving grace. Therefore, we have our position in him unchangeable, with the glorious future lying ahead of us, all because of the cup which he drank to the full, to the whole dregs of it, the wrath of his Father against sin in his own body on the tree. Wonderful. So that is a future issue in verse 14. It's a guarantee. The redemption of the purchased possession, our final redemption. What's that? A new body in the presence of the Lord? A glorified body. Well, like his glorious body. We can hardly imagine that. That's a guarantee. That's a future, final redemption, the new body. No effects of sin. No attacks of the enemy. With the Lord forever and back here with him. Isn't it wonderful? And it says, to the praise of his glory. There's your blessed position in Christ Jesus. And so blessed, praise, worship the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. The promise in the spiritual realm. Wonderful, isn't it? Blessed be God the Father. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What a wonderful experience that is. It's the cup of blessing, dear friends. Embracing all this, the cup of blessing given to us. Here it is. Here's what I promised for you. Here it is. Here's the cup. Here's the blessing. And it's ours. Isn't that marvelous? The cup of salvation. Well, we read in Psalm 116 at the beginning, we read this in verse 14, and this is a result of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude. You remember the 10th leper? He came back. The other nine didn't. He came back to thank the Lord for his healing. Where were the other nine? And the psalmist in Psalm 116, he says this, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That's witness. We realize we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're his by right of possession, by purchase, as a redeeming price. He bought us and we're his. And our vows is to be loyal to him, faithful to him, giving our lives over to him, risking, yes, anything that may be. Solemn it is, but there it is. I will pay my vows, worship the Lord, be a faithful servant, be a witnessing servant, growing in Christ, walking with him, walking in truth, walking in the light, and walking in love towards each other. He said, I'll pay my vows in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the people. And that's a public witness. Let's keep our promise to the Lord, because he kept his promise to the Father, to endure the cross, endure the suffering, the mocking, the pain, but more than that, and above all that, enduring the wrath of the Father against sin in his body. He paid the price that we needn't. Isn't that wonderful? Well, then, of course, we come to the one that Alec mentioned last time. We've looked at the cup of redemption or the cup of salvation briefly, and the cup of blessing and all the blessings that the Lord gives to us freely. What about the cup of wrath? No, we shan't see that. The cup of wrath. Would you go with me to the book of Revelation? Alec was in that area yesterday evening, Revelation chapter 14 this time. Revelation 14, please. And let's read from verse 6 right through to the end, because this gives a whole picture. It's a long reading, but I think it's worth it. It's the cup of wrath, which will be poured out on a godless, Christ-rejecting, gospel-rejecting world, rebellious against the Lord. Here's the scene, Revelation 14, verse 6, right through to the end, 20. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's a different cup. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine, or the cup, if you like, of the wrath of God. The wrath of God, which is poured out full strength. You may have it in the authorized version, without mixture. Same thing. No dilution. Full strength of the wrath of God poured out on a Christ-rejecting, rebellious, godless world, which is building up, of course. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, when the Lord judges. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. I was asked a question last night, is it possible for anyone who receives the mark of the beast to be saved? And the answer here is clearly no. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commands of God and the faith of Jesus, even in the tribulation saints. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, the martyrs of that age. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Rewards. And I looked and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Verse 14, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle, a weapon of judgment and cutting down. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe, ripe for judgment, ripe for wrath. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe, ready for judgment. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. He's treading the grapes of wrath. And out comes the red juice, symbolic of blood, of course. And the wine press was trampled outside the city, meaning Jerusalem in this case. And blood came out of the wine press up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs, 200 miles. Dear friends, hallelujah, you have escaped the wrath. Praise the Lord. You are not going to experience this. You experience the cup of blessing, the cup of redemption, the cup of salvation, and all the blessings entirely that the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit gives by promise to you. Ours is eternal life. We shall not experience or even see this cup of God's wrath poured out. Dear friends, pray for families who don't know the Lord. Pray for those around you. Don't be fearful of witness. The time is coming. We're going to be taken home. The Lord will still be working with 144,000, yes. When the mark of the beast comes, they can't be saved. Now is the day of salvation. Make a vow to the Lord in the presence of his people and be a faithful witness. Be a faithful witness. where you live. Hallelujah. We could read on indeed into chapter 16 while we're there in verse 19. This is about Babylon. Alec mentioned this last night, just mentioned that the great city divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And great Babylon remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. All the systems of this world set up about God. Man's day is going to come to an end. And the Lord is coming to reign. Go over to chapter 18 and verse 6. Chapter 18, verse 6. Oh, look at this verse. It says about Babylon in verse 5, her sins have reached the heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her work. Does that mean that God is unjust to pay twice over? No, the assistants of this world have persecuted the Jew and persecuted the Christian over many centuries, as you well know. And she's going to receive double. The systems of this world, the godless rebellion of this world and the population will receive the double from the Lord. In the cup which he has mixed for her double. That's something. Can't imagine it, can we really? Back in chapter 17 and verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. This is a cup that the systems of this world, with all the allurement of the feminine aspect, that's why it is the allurement, the attraction, the deception, like a wicked woman, is going to deceive the whole world. And she's offering that cup to the world, and the world drinking it. It's a cup, it may be a golden cup, that's a deception, but it's a cup of abominations and filthiness, of her deceptive allurements. Put as fornication here. That's something, isn't it? For the religious world, it's spiritual adultery. Israel was accused of that, and she was disciplined. I'd like, if you will, please, just as we come to a close and gather around the Lord's table, to look at some psalms. Go back to the psalms again, please. We're thinking of our own personal Christian life and our own witness. Psalm 11. Psalm 11, please. How verse 3 speaks of our day. Well, it's been all the time, of course, but how much today? Psalm 11. Let's read from verse 3 to the end. 3 to 7. Psalm 11. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? How difficult it is to witness and get our witness received today in the light of the breaking down of the foundation to that which is right and just and the rejection of the gospel. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyes test the sons of men. He's watching. The Lord tests the righteous too. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and a burning wind. This shall be the portion of their cup. That's the cup God gives, the cup of wrath to the nations around. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and his countenance, his very appearing, his very presence, beholds the upright. That's wonderful, isn't it? You might have in the AV rain snares, but it's like coals of judgment. Go to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. And look at verses 8 to 10. This is bearing in mind the cup of wrath as we looked in the book of Revelation. Psalm 73 from verse 8 to 10. This is the people around us. You could read before that if you like. The violence covers like a garment. Eyes bulge with abundance and so on. Verse 8, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and the tongue walks through the earth. The influence, talking through the earth, the influence of wrong principles, the influence of wickedness, lawlessness, and violence today spreading so rapidly and getting worse. That's how it is. And people have no answer. Jesus said, and these things happen at the very end times, there's no answer to the problem. They set their mouth against heavens. Alex spoke yesterday the way that the leaders of the world will go and hide in among the rocks, want to be hidden away from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. They speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens. They curse God, as we know. They blaspheme and they curse God. That's the days that lie ahead when we've gone home. The full cup is going to be poured out. Hallelujah, friends. We should never see this. We should never know it. We should never experience it. We can't imagine it. It's coming on a godless world. But you have received the cup of redemption, the cup of salvation, the cup of blessing. These are the three major cups of Scripture. The cup of redemption or salvation, the cup of blessing, that's ours, but not the cup of wrath. The Lord is going to tread that out. What an opportunity. In Jeremiah, you needn't turn to this, I close now. In Jeremiah 25 and verse 15 says this, thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand from me and cause all the nations to drink it. That's in Jeremiah's day, especially the inroads of Babylon and other nations. Hard thing to do. Take this wine cup of the fury at my hand. It's going to be poured out in the end times. Jeremiah 51 verse 7 about Babylon in the future. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine cup. Therefore the nations stagger and are mad and they become deranged. Babylon has fallen, that's God, in the future and will be destroyed. It is the time of the Lord's vengeance, verse 6. He will render to her a recompense. The cup of wrath is coming, dear friends. And right at the end times, when the Antichrist gathers all the nations against Israel and against Jerusalem, at the end of Zechariah, of course, in Zechariah 12, verse 2, with this I close, Jerusalem will be made a cup of trembling. There's another cup. A cup of trembling. Who for? A cup of trembling, a cup of reeling, as if the Lord has put a drug into the cup to send the nations reeling and staggering with what they're going to experience. To all the people when they besiege Judah and Jerusalem. And he's made Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all those people. And he says in verse 3 of Zechariah 12, they shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. It's all one aspect of the cup of wrath being poured out on a Christ-rejecting, gospel-rejecting, stubborn, rebellious world, which is all heading up for the very last days of the end times. You and I have the cup of redemption, the cup of blessing. Hallelujah. What a joy. What a great privilege to belong to the Lord and to enjoy these cups, because he bore the cup of the Father's wrath against sin. In him that we are free to enjoy the cup of redemption and the cup of blessing multiplied to us